I don't think any of us really want to suffer. Of course, I think that's pretty obvious to say. You know, we seek out medicines to cure any ailments we might have or to take care of any pain we might have, to ease the pain or cure any disease. You know, we seek ways to end our physical suffering. And, you know, we make tools to make our lives easier, to end some of the suffering that life brings to us, you know. And that's not bad in its own right. I mean, that's a good thing to find these tools and to find these medicines that make our life just a little bit easier. You know, I don't know about you, but I would much rather drive a car between towns than take a horse and carriage or have to walk. So there's nothing wrong with tools to make our lives a little easier. The problem when we seek to avoid suffering is when we remove suffering at someone else's expense. At that point, it becomes wrong. When someone else becomes the way we end our suffering. An example might be disposal of an unwanted pregnancy, which of course is a euphemism for an abortion. Having an abortion when the pregnancy can cause mental anguish, mental suffering for the mother. Instead of allowing the child to live, they kill it through abortion. Euthanasia, the same thing. In places where they have euthanasia, more and more stories are coming out where the people who want the euthanasia is not the person who's receiving it, where maybe it's an elderly parent or someone who is mentally disabled, and instead of being an inconvenience for the family, they have them euthanized, or the doctor decides that they're not worth keeping on, so they have them euthanized, they kill them. On a less dire level, when we know there's someone who is in need and someone who we could help, but it would cause us some discomfort in putting ourselves out, and we ignore them because it would inconvenience us. Or when someone says something against our faith, when they attack our faith, and instead of defending our faith and showing them how they're wrong, instead we let it slide and we don't defend what we believe to avoid the persecution that could come from standing up for our faith, because that could cause suffering as well. I think a lot of times with suffering, and these are just a few examples, a lot of time with suffering, we fall into the trap of St. Peter. St. Peter wanted to prevent our Lord from having to go through the suffering and death on the cross. But our Lord rebukes him, tells him, you are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do. St. Peter was rebuked for wanting to protect our Lord from the suffering that our Lord had to face. But our Lord tells us in the gospel today that the suffering is necessary, that suffering is necessary to follow him. As he tells St. Peter and the disciples, whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Now, I think this is a passage, these two sentences I just read, are a passage that Christians should meditate on daily. Every day we should be thinking about this, taking up our cross and following him. Because our Lord does not promise us a happy life. It's not going to be an easy life. You know, sometimes following him is going to be difficult. We may not always be happy in this world, which, by the way, is why I don't really rely on my emotions to tell me from right and wrong. You know, emotions can help us understand whether something is right or wrong, you know, that gut feeling we might have. But we can't rely on emotions. You know, if something makes us feel good, that doesn't mean it's right. Sometimes the right thing isn't the most emotionally fulfilling. Having to challenge someone who is attacking our faith doesn't feel good. For most of us, it puts knots in our stomach. It makes us nervous. You know, the adrenaline gets going. It's not a happy feeling, but it is the right thing to do. But if we do follow our Lord and we do the things that make us uncomfortable, that may bring suffering, our Lord promises us that he will repay all according to his conduct. So the more that we take on our Lord's cross, the more we follow him, the more we will be repaid in our next life. We can use the example of Jeremiah in the first reading today. You know, the prophet Jeremiah went through great difficulties. Matter of fact, he's the exact opposite of St. Peter in the gospel, as St. Peter is presented in the gospel, because Jeremiah allowed God's will to override his own. And because of that, Jeremiah endured great suffering. He suffered very greatly if you read through the book of the prophet Jeremiah. You know, we see in the gospel today that Jeremiah was saying that he was mocked and laughed at for proclaiming what our Lord or what God told him to say. And he was physically assaulted. We see in other parts of the book of the prophet Jeremiah that he had to deal with physical insults and physical attacks because of his being a prophet of the Lord, but now is considered one of the great prophets of Israel. The problem we run into is that we live in an age that avoids the cross, that doesn't want to be the prophet Jeremiah. As St. Paul tells us, this is not a new thing. Do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and pleasing and perfect. To be a Christian is to be countercultural. To follow our Lord means to go against what the culture teaches. Not to seek what is comfortable and easy. Because I think for most of us, the comfortable, easy thing is to do our job, to be quiet, to watch TV at night, watch the sports, you know, the football or the basketball or baseball or whatever turns you on, and take the easy life. But instead, we are challenged by St. Paul to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. This means that we are called to seek God's will and to offer our lives to fulfill it. And that's not a simple, easy, comfortable path like we want. But we need to allow ourselves to be transformed by God's word if we are going to follow God's word or follow God's will. And this word is spoken to us both through the scriptures and tradition. So we are called to immerse ourselves in both. You know, by doing daily scripture reading, the readings at Mass are perfect for that. But daily to be opening the scriptures and reading through them and spending some time with them. Same thing with prayer, to spend regular time with prayer, once a day at a minimum, taking a period of time once a day at a minimum. But we should be praying always, so throughout the day we should be taking time for prayer. And then to find opportunities to learn and to grow, to advance in our faith, to understand our faith better, and to learn how to live it better. Here in Malta, I'm going to be doing some Mass education, some education on the Mass, some classes, some training on the Mass in preparation for the new translation. In other places, they'll be doing similar packages, similar programs. So I encourage you to find these opportunities. If they aren't doing it, to find things online and to find programs that you can order for yourself to continue to advance your faith, books and so on. You know, we are all called to do this. We're all called to constantly learn our faith and constantly grow in our faith so that we can live our faith. And the biggest challenge that we can do if we truly want to be transformed by God's word is to allow God to be too strong for you. Jeremiah said that God was too strong for him and broke through and triumphed over him. Well, in the same way, we are called to allow God to triumph over us, to break through our wills. Now, of course, we don't want to do that because our pride wants us to hang on to our own wills. But we are called to let God be too strong for us and to let him work in our life so that we can take up our cross and follow our Lord as he commands.